Lecture 8, The Road to Victory, The Revolution of 1800.
In our last lecture, we looked at Jefferson's tenure as Secretary of State, his growing with Alexander Hamilton, his leader public report against...
Lecture 8, The Road to Victory, The Revolution of 1800.
In our last lecture, we looked at Jefferson's tenure as Secretary of State. He masterfully leads his party, but leads it to a victory which would, in the long run, be ultimate and almost complete. In 1796, Jefferson enters the list as the Republican candidate for president and is elected vice president. We're going to look at three things. First, his initial gesture, which is a remarkable one. He considers creating a unity government with the president, John Adams, who is the Federalist leader. Then we'll see that he leads his party through its low point in 1798 to 1800, a period of great crisis, where it's really his masterful leadership which allows the Republican Party to remain intact. And finally, will result in his election in 1800 as President of the United States, despite some rather strange electoral dealings. Well, let's begin with that election of 1796. After he learns, at least to his satisfaction, that Adams is in fact going to be elected, his first thought is to propose a unity government, which is an incredibly high-minded ideal. And I think what motivated Jefferson was the dangers of global war between France and Britain, and the need to create unity at home and overcome the vitriolic partisanship that threatened the nation. And I want to look at it, at Jefferson's proposal here. He actually writes a letter to Adams, which he doesn't send to Adams. He sends to Madison, enclosed in another letter, so that Madison can counsel him on whether to send it or not. And what he writes to Madison is the following, and many people have found this insincere on Jefferson's part, but I think it's not. I think it's actually the truth. He writes, "I can particularly have no feelings which would revolt at a secondary position to Mr. Adams. I am his junior in life, was his junior in Congress, his junior in the diplomatic line, his junior lately in our civil government." And then he proposes the following consideration for Madison, which is, and I want to quote it, "If Mr. Adams can be induced to administer the government on its true principles and to relinquish his bias to an English constitution, it is to be considered whether it would not be on the whole for the public good to come to a good understanding with him as to his future elections. He is perhaps the only sure barrier against Hamilton's getting in." And this is, I think, an extremely high-minded and, in some extent, radical proposal. What he wants to do is offer Adams the support of the Republican Party, literally make Adams the president, and then the president of the Republican president, and then have Adams reelected after that. He's willing to sacrifice his own turn as the first magistrate of the nation for what he thinks is the good of the whole in creating unity. And I want to read the enclosure that he would have sent to Adams. And he basically congratulates him on his coming victory. "I have never one single moment expected a different issue. And though I know I shall not be believed, yet it is not the less true that I have never wished it. That your administration may be filled with glory and happiness to yourself, an advantage to us, is the sincere wish of one who, though in the course of our voyage of life, of our voyage through life, various little incidents have happened or been contrived to separate us, retains still for you the solid esteem of the moments when we were working for our independence, and sentiments of respect and affectionate sentiment, and affectionate attachment, excuse me." Well, unfortunately, Madison advised him not to send the letter, and thus was lost one of the great opportunities in American political history to overcome partisan differences. I want to read Madison's reply to Jefferson, at least a little bit of it. First, he lies out some rather dubious reasons why the letter shouldn't be sent. Adams may not believe it. Adams already knows you care about him. He might see it as a scheme. But then he gets down, of course, at the bottom of the letter to the real reasons. "The tenderness due to the zealous and active promoters of your election makes it doubtful whether their anxieties and exertions ought to be depreciated by anything implying the unreasonableness of them.